Concho with Anna DeBlanzis right here on 720 WTN. Mm-hmm. Richard Roper stepped into the studio with us. Richard Roper is going to be reviewing, coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, Ocean's 8, Hotel Artemis, Hereditary, which some people are saying is one of the scariest movies of the decade.
Ooh.
Is Richard Roper saying that?
I don't think he's going to tell us yet.
You people!
Nicolas Cage also has a movie out this hour, and we'll talk to him about that as well.
How many movies does he do a year?
I was looking at it, Anna, the other day, and it's like every time I'm due for a haircut, there's a new Nicolas Cage movie.
And some are direct to the video now.
Yeah, he's got six. The IMDb, which keeps pretty really good track of most roles, says, I think, 15 movies in 2017 or 2018 for Nicolas Cage.
More than I thought.
So really, almost.
He's like
an old school guy.
Like Mickey Rooney would do that in a year.
The guy that would walk off the soundstage at Warner Brothers, take off the cowboy outfit, put on the cop outfit, and who am I playing now?
I'm sorry. I love Nicolas Cage.
See, I'm not a fan.
I know we've had this conversation here, but I'm a Nicolas Cage guy. Some people are not a Nicolas Cage guy. I'm a Nicolas Cage guy. All right. I want to also coming up this hour, on a serious note, Mickey Bergman is going to join us. Mickey Bergman was one of the was the chief negotiator in the Otto Warmbier Exchange with North Korea. Okay. He'll talk about what it's like to negotiate with the North Koreans and what we can expect coming up next week out of Singapore.
Fascinating.
Really fascinating interview coming up. And Dan Abrams, we sat down with him earlier in the week, and we'll play some of that for you in the 6 o'clock hour. He's got a new book out about Lincoln, but which is fascinating, too. But also... we talked to him about what's happening right here in the world.
Get some A-list journalists, historians, etc.
Yeah, big. Very good. It's a big shoe right here that we have to fill. All right, so what shall we do now?
Because you know what time it is. If you look at the clock, and
if it's 5 o'clock,
it's the top five on the Rokon Show.
Five,
let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right. Checking in at
number five.
While discussing his upcoming meeting with Kim Jong-un in Singapore, the president argued that he actually doesn't need to prepare very much for the summit because he's really focused on attitude, not detail.
I think I'm very well prepared. I don't think I have to prepare very much. It's about attitude. It's about willingness to get things done. But I think I've been preparing for the summit for a long time, as has the other side. I think they've been preparing for a long time also. So this isn't a question of preparation. It's a question of whether or not people want it to happen. And we'll know that very quickly.
It's like him telling his dad why he didn't study for the test. Is basically what that's like. Now, we did just talk to Congressman Kinzinger, who I trust his words.
Sure.
Because, and he said that he's one of the foremost experts on North Korea in the United States House of Representatives. And he said he has met with Donald Trump, and Donald Trump seems incredibly well prepared and aware of the circumstances over there.
Right, and prepared to walk away if it doesn't seem like the meeting is worth it, but certainly...
I don't think he's going to walk away if he's there already. I've already come to Singapore, I'm not leaving.
He likes quick visits to overseas, though. He likes to get back.
He likes to get back.
Get back
now, Melania is not going to this. No. Right? She's not going to the G7 or this.
Don't think so, no.
Right. And she did come out yesterday, right? Did we see her?
Yes.
I didn't see pictures.
She looked like Melania.
Okay.
Yeah, we saw her.
I don't like the fact that people are saying she had some work done at Walter Reed, not known for its cosmetic surgery.
That wouldn't be
wrong place.
Yeah.
Well, at least for elective cosmetic surgery. Let's put it that way. They're actually
corrective,
very well known for burn.
Absolutely.
And stuff like
but not, you know, somebody saying, I just want to lose a couple inches off the hips.
Right. Or could you fix this this thing under my eye? I'd like that to be better. All right. Now, he told reporters that he's prepared to walk away. If no agreement for denuclearization specifically is reached.
So I am totally prepared to walk. It could happen. Maybe it won't be necessary. I hope it won't be necessary to walk because I really believe that Kim Jong-un wants to do something that is going to be great for his people and also great for his family and great for himself. Okay?
That left me a little cold. This whole idea that Kim Jong-un, and that's why I get it that he's got to suck up to Kim Jong-un, because Kim Jong-un, you know, literally kills and incarcerates and puts in work death camps thousands upon thousands of his own people just to help himself and his family, right? To secure them politically, to intimidate the opposition, and in some cases to punish his enemies, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just that's a reality. So when he talks about his family like that, like he's going to help his family, I didn't like the fact that Trump seemed very comfortable with the notion of sometimes you got to be a leader to help your family.
I don't remember anybody ever saying, like, you know, when they're negotiating with Stalin, worried about the extended cousins of Joseph or Olaf and Igor, the Hussein brothers, whatever their name is, Udaf and Igor.
Or Boris. Boris Stalin.
But you got to think, I mean, look, if he's telegraphing that he won't, that there's a possibility he won't even show up for it, you got to think in order for Kim Jong-un to think that he can show up, he has to be meeting them somewhere on this denuclearization issue, right? You don't show up to this and not have that peace.
That is exactly the question that we will ask
this
North Korean negotiator coming up at 5:40, because that's you've hit on it. That's the billion-dollar question. All right, now, one more thing from the number four. Mike Pompeo has had to respond to what Rudy Giuliani was saying. Rudy Giuliani, while in Israel, he thinks no one else can hear him when he's over there. He does not realize that he's being recorded and there's an internet and people can hear. He said that Donald Trump got Kim Jong-un to crawl on his hands and knees to meet with Donald Trump. Probably not the kind of thing that you want to have this very insecure North Korean nuclearized potentate dictator here. So Mike Pompeo was asked to respond to what Rudy Giuliani said.
I took him as being a small room and not being serious about the comments. I think it was a bit in jest. We're moving forward. We're focused on the important things. I know Rudy. Rudy doesn't speak for the administration when it comes to this negotiation and this set of issues.
Ooh, take that, Rudy.
I need to get T-shirts printed for the White House. Shut the F up, Rudy.
Wow.
Because he's not helping.
No, he's not helping.
Not helping. I mean, whatever the Stormy Daniels stuff or lawsuits, things like that, or even the Russia investigation, he wants to push people off or intimidate them. But when it comes to this very delicate negotiation with North Korea, stay in your lane.
I think that's true.
Checking in at
number four.
Here he is himself, Rudy Giuliani. This is where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
Again, swerving around between these lanes, he slammed the credibility and character of Stormy Daniels because she is an adult film actress.
Stormy, the porn star. You know, every porn person can't be a star. I never heard of her before. Now, I don't really look at porn. Please get that down. I don't look at But I would say that that's about the same credibility as her lawyer, who basically got thrown out of the case. I don't believe Stormy Daniels.
You know, we can listen to
I don't believe it. I don't know. Sue me, Stormy. I don't believe it.
Anybody who says they don't watch porn, watch porn.
Well, he started going. He was one heartbeat away from saying, "Look, she's no Jenna Jameson or a
classic, real classic
in her prime."
The good old days when Jenna Jameson was running the porn industry.
Why are we even debating this? Whether or not she's a star or not.
But seriously, who's better?
I always thought of Stormy as more of a character actress than a lead. But she has, carried quite a film over the years. Sometimes she's the only woman in the whole cast. You know, you got to give her credit for that.
What
about that, Rudy?
Very busy. You know, talk about getting your porny or whatever the Emmy, what is the, or the Oscar?
The
AVN Award for getting the AVN.
Remember when she was in 9 and a Half Men? That was a great
Oh, my God.
All right, wait, there's Classic. More. There's more.
The money was repaid by the president, so it
You settle cases. You settle cases to protect people's reputation, whether it's true or not. Because if she said it, as she has, people will believe it, whether it's true or not. I respect all human beings. I even have to respect, criminals. But I'm sorry, I don't respect a porn star the way I respect a career woman or a woman of substance or a woman who has great respect for herself as a woman and as a person and isn't going to sell her body for sexual exploitation. So, Stormy, you want to bring a case? Let me cross-examine you.
What bravado. Jeez,
sounds like the start of a porn movie.
He's just in that, such a giant glass house that Rudy lives in when he starts throwing the stuff out there.
Oh, Mr. Giuliani, this is my first audition for a deposition. What do I do?
Can you tell her how does she feel these days with all these Stormy Daniels affairs going on in the background, and she's not
I can't speak for Melania.
But you're a personal friend.
I am, and I will. She believes in her husband. She knows it's untrue. I don't even think there's a slight suspicion that it's true when you, excuse me, but when you look at Stormy Daniels. I know Donald Trump, and
let's respect him.
Look at his three wives, right? Beautiful women, classy women, women of great substance. Stormy Daniels.
Yeah, but you don't watch porn for substance.
But he never.
I don't think that's the point.
I don't think that's what he was saying.
But that's not
even Melania.
You could have something of substance at home and still want Stormy Daniels another time.
Excellent point. But I think
Melania Trump's spokeswoman pushed back on Giuliani to say, shut up, essentially. You don't speak for her. She's never discussed this with you. Stop telling people what she believes because you don't know it. That says something.
Right.
Stop talking.
Yeah, I don't think anybody doesn't believe. I mean, come on. Rudy, who's Rudy? To whom is Rudy zooming? We get this. Of course Donald Trump. She's got every detail. What about the other one what's the one? Karen McDougal.
Mm-hmm. She said
no one's denying that.
Oh, that she said that was like an 8 or 9 month affair. Nobody
right?
You know, refuted that.
I mean, we're all of a sudden, Rudy of all people. Yeah. Is going to just sit there and tell us, oh, no, the president's completely fidelitous to his wife.
Right, he respects women so well.
I'm about family. I married my second cousin.
I was dating the second woman when I was married to the first. And I
told the second I was leaving her for the third in a press conference.
And then the third left. Then the third left is now leaving him now.
Oh, geez,
right?
That's a shame.
I didn't know that.
But the second one wouldn't leave Gracie Mansion
right.
in New York.
They had that standoff.
Right. And that's a public house. Like the mayor lives in like the White House there. It's owned by the city of New York. In their house that the mayor lives in. And his ex-wife wouldn't leave.
Yeah. It was the War of the Roses. And if you got to go back if you want some good cheese fun, because you know who played Rudy Giuliani in the TV movie? James Woods.
Oh, God, it is. It's true. That's so totally true. All right. We'll get to your 3, 2, and 1. But first, top 5 at 5 continues right here. Up to
number 3.
This is very interesting. The Bears today and George McCaskey, their chairman, say that the team supports the NFL's new national anthem policy, but they acknowledge that the issues behind the protests and they applaud players' social activism. So the kind of, you know, everybody's
kinda
trying to have
a line there.
Yeah, trying to have a little bit of both ways. Mm-hmm. Just a little touch of this and a little touch of that.
Everyone's right.
Mm-hmm.
You're both right.
Right. Can we move on and have a football season now? Would it kill you? How's Rokan doing?
Roquan.
Yeah, whatever. All right, now, here's what McCaskey told reporters, that the first players who took a knee did it for a purpose.
First players to take a knee during the national anthem did so to bring attention to two issues, police misconduct and social inequality. These are legitimate issues that deserve discussion and action. As a country, we can do better. It's part of the Founding Fathers' charge to us to form a more perfect union. Commissioner Goodell said it very well, and it bears repeating. It was unfortunate that on-field protests created a false perception among many that thousands of NFL players were unpatriotic. This is not and was never the case.
It wasn't a false perception of many. It was an enforced perception of one.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
It was the Commander-in-Chief of the United States saying that the Commander-in-Chief of the United States military, I should say. It's not the Commander-in-Chief of me. No one's the boss of me, man.
But you had
the Commander-in-Chief of the military, the President of the United States, saying that's what that was. That this was a direct insult to the troops themselves, and continuing to make that point over and over and over and over again, mm-hmm. and sometimes rather aggressively. And so that's where the misperception was. But it does seem to me that it is possible. I would even say likely that the president was doing that because it was a political wedge issue that he was winning. And he did
win. Absolutely. He knew what he was doing. When he talked about, let's get some of those SOBs and fire them and tell them all that stuff. Yeah. He knew, yeah.
You just wonder what's going to happen to any players that defy this policy.
Some teams said they'll cover fines, things like that. McCaskey was asked about that today. He says they still haven't decided on what they'll do for individual team enforcement or anything like that.
Got it.
You know, NFL has a lot of fish to fry here. They get a lot of problems, and they got to fix them, and they've got to get around them. And I think that this is one that they're just deciding is one too many for them, because they've got the concussion issue, and they've got attendance and television issues that they have to address. They may have too many teams in the league at the moment, and that's that is its own problem. So they've got scheduling issues and talent issues and all the rest. So I think they would like to put this to bed if they can.
Well, 95% of the players weren't kneeling most of the time last year anyway. They were never
looking. It was not of the Eagles were.
Yeah. I mean, it was never a huge issue with most of the players.
And none of the Bears either, if I recall that correctly. Did we ever see that here? I
don't remember seeing
that. No, they always locked arms. That was their sign.
Which is great.
I mean, listen, I don't want to get, let's get me started. Yeah. You know what? Don't get me started. Checking in at
number two.
Last night, Samantha Bee apologized for her use of the C word. Now you're thinking, why did it take so long? It's because that's how they produce those shows. You know, 5 days. You know, they do like 3 days at a time, and then they produce. And so this is the first opportunity that they've had in production to be able to do it. At least that's what they're saying.
This time, I used it as an insult. I crossed the line, I regret it, and I do apologize for that. The problem is that many women have heard that word at the worst moments of their lives. A lot of them don't want that word reclaimed. They want it gone. And I don't blame them. I don't want to inflict more pain on them. I want this show to be challenging, and I want it to be honest, but I never intended it to hurt anyone except Ted Cruz.
Kind of made it funny there, but apparently Variety's got a story out today that advertisers are not jumping in even after the apology, so it may have a bit of a chilling effect.
Of the mistakes that have been made, there's so many of them, I can't even begin to count them
for sure.
On both sides of this, but this is one of the dumbest because it took so many people to make this mistake go through.
Yes. Exactly.
I mean, this was a pre-recorded show. It was scripted. This was an intentional moment. I mean, this was so freaking stupid. Although now Roseanne has tripled down. She reposted the joke as she sees it. The slur of Valerie Jarrett.
That's great.
She's doubling down.
Yeah.
So much for calmer heads prevailing here. All right, and finally, this is for our own, the great Brian Altimer, the sonic genius of this show.
Number one.
Prince fans are getting a birthday present because today would be the 60th birthday for Prince Rogers Nelson. How about that? They are releasing, there's an announcement today that a new album of material is going to be released called Piano and a Microphone. Will be released on September 21st. It's a 9-track, 35-minute album featuring previously unreleased material with Prince at his piano at home.
Oh, wow.
Recorded in 83, the track list includes early versions of Purple Rain, 17 Days, and a cover of Joni Mitchell's A Case of You.
Wow. Cool.
How about that?
Yeah.
I'd like to hear that.
Also, his take on the 19th century spiritual, Mary, Don't You Weep.
Oh, man.
Which Spike Lee is using in his forthcoming film, Black Klansman.
Mary, don't you weep.
Gives you chills, doesn't it?
It does. Wow.
Prince, that will be highly anticipated, the release of that. All right. No. We've got to move on here. Coming up in just a few minutes, stay tuned for this. Mickey Bergman is going to join us. He is the chief negotiator with North Korea over the release of Otto Warmbier. He'll tell us what to expect from North Korea next week in Singapore with the president. Stay close.
The top five at five.